This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hello, Geta, and happy Solomon Islands Pidgin Language Week. This week is a time for many Solomon Islanders across Aotearoa and beyond to come together to celebrate who we are, where we come from, and the languages that carry our identity, our wisdom, and our stories. Language is more than just words. It is the heartbeat of our culture, the vessel of our traditions, and the bridge that connects generations. When we speak our languages, we keep our ancestors' voices alive, and when we teach them to our children, we ensure our culture will never be forgotten. This year's theme, Protect Our Language and Culture, is both a celebration and a call to action. It reminds us that our languages are treasures, but they are also fragile. In a world that is changing fast, it is up to us to safeguard them. We protect our languages by speaking them at home, by teaching them in our communities, by writing them, singing them, and celebrating them. In line with this year's theme, I'm joined by Dr. Charles Radcliffe, an archaeologist from Solomon Islands and the first Pacific lecturer in archaeology at the University of Otago. Today, he will share a little bit about the work that he does and why it is so important when it comes to preserving our culture and history. Welcome, Charles.
Hello. Thank you too much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where is home?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Honiara, the capital city of Solomon Islands, to Kiribati mother and English father. And I did a lot of my early living, schooling in Honiara, and I had the privilege of, well, my parents were very blessed in that my parents could afford to send us overseas to school in Australia and New Zealand. So I have a few homes, but Honiara, the Solomon Islands, is certainly often where I want to return back to for Christmas with my family. And I see it very much as somewhere, you know, I've ultimately like to be returned to and maybe contribute to in terms of archaeology and other teaching. Since I started lecturing at the University of Otago in 2023, I've been blessed to have two young sons, so born and raised in Dunedin.
So what brought you to Aotearoa or Dunedin?
Dunedin was, I came to Dunedin for studies and studying archaeology in 2012. My family and I, we had been to New Zealand before that, and we had a really memorable family holiday, campervanning around the South Island, and we didn't reach as far south as Dunedin. So when we were after high school, speaking to my dad, and we had another family friend who's an archaeologist getting recommendations on different universities, Otago really stood out to us. And I remember sitting in the lounge with my dad. He was looking at the website for the university and was describing it on the website as saying, you know, you could go skiing in the mountains and then you can go surfing. Coming from a very warm country, I was quite blown away. I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. Upon looking at various universities, we end up going with Otago, and it happened to be cheaper, slightly cheaper than University of Auckland. But I had no connections here, no family, no friends. So it was a big sort of leap and a big sort of learning curve. But it didn't take long to find my community, be reached out to from one of our sort of senior figures, or mother hens, we'll call her. Mama Joy had reached out to me in my first year. I got a phone call saying, oh, hello, and then, are you from Solomon Islands? And I said, yeah, and said, we've got a small community here. So it sort of all took off from there.
And now you are a lecturer at the University of Otago. Have you been here in New Zealand since studying?
Yeah, so it's been an on and off. So since I started in 2012, so I completed a degree and then an honours degree, and with a lot of encouragement from one of my former supervisors who was married to a Solomon Islander, Professor Richard Walter, and a few others really sort of urged me, encouraged me to apply for a PhD scholarship. And so I did all of my university studies here at the University of Otago, And then after a 1 year a postdoc research job in at the Australian National University, I was able to take up a lecturing position in 2023.
You don't hear many Pacific archaeologists, let alone Solomon Islander archaeologists. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do, how you even got into this field, and why it is so important when it comes to protecting our language and culture?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most common questions I'll get is as a, being trained and dedicating a lot of my time and efforts and my career to a quite a sort of niche profession. But what drew me to archaeology was an interest in ancient history in high school. And I was aware of how culturally diverse Solomon Islands is. We have over 70 languages, 70 indigenous languages. But what I realized was that I learned far more about the deep history and that really rich diversity of my home country while studying here in Dunedin. And it was some of those academics, who had these strong ties to Solomon Islands and had been actively doing research, working with indigenous communities in different parts of Solomon Islands. But it's really from my time in at the university that I've been able to learn more about my home country, because to be honest, I had very little of that historical teaching and background and curriculum in my schooling in Honiara, in the capital city. And over time, as I've done my own research and build my own connections and found ways to support and work with Indigenous communities in the Solomons, I've really come to realize how there are also a lot of vulnerabilities and a lot of challenges that Indigenous communities are facing, whether it be preserving their languages or their tumbu sites or ancestral sites that might be under threat from logging, mining, of course, climate change and sea level rise and other coastal impacts are increasingly having communities are really increasingly have to think about how they can salvage and protect a lot of this a lot of the heritage. So archaeology is practiced by I can count in my in a palm of my two hands how many university-trained archaeologists we have working in the Solomon Islands. We are desperately needing more in the workforce and really needing to find ways to improve not only legislation in the country, but just recognition from the government, because it's really the heritage is being looked after by the Solomon Islanders. So they're very much at the front line of having to protect their languages and their cultures.
What is your favorite part, about the work that you do?
My favorite part of working in archaeology, whether it be here in New Zealand or in my home country in the Solomons, I've had the privilege also working in Papua New Guinea, United Kingdom. It's really connecting with local communities, especially indigenous communities, where they have that really entrenched, deep connections to the whenua or the land. And in some instances can go back thousands of years, and that's really where archaeology, so the methods, social scientific methods it uses, can help enhance or enrich indigenous understandings about connection to land. So it can be looked, whether it be we use radiocarbon dating methods, so scientific dating methods to provide an age, a chronological age of a site. And then we can compare that to oral histories or the whakapapa or the genealogies associated with that land. So it's something I enjoy the most is building relationships with communities. But it certainly has its challenges as well. And working in countries like Solomon Islands where the land is, you have customary land and then state-owned land. So there's different laws, that are in place to govern and manage how land, is land tenure, how it's managed, but also how families inherit land and the knowledge and basically the responsibility to look after a lot of the heritage. So there's a lot of challenges working in some of the communities in the home country, Solomons, but across the Pacific, So that's why it's so important we get more indigenous, you know, Pacific archaeologists, I would argue, in this space.
You mentioned earlier about the community that you now have in Otsepoti, Dunedin, and with the Language Week that we are currently celebrating, can you share with us a little about your involvement with the display at the Tuhura Otago Museum?
Sure. So we began the Solomon Islands Language Week began last year, 2024, and this year we'll be looking to continue our partnership with Tuhura Otago Museum and some of the really incredible curatorial staff they have there. There's only one or two Pacific staff members, or Indigenous Pacific staff members at Tuhura Otago Museum. So they are really reliant on strengthening community relationships and bringing in the communal knowledge. So the display itself will be set up at level one at the Pacific Gallery, so outside the Pacific Gallery, which is currently under renovation. But it's a temporary special exhibition, and it's going to have a range of artifacts, or, you know, these objects that can range going back a couple hundred years or more recently that have been collected and housed at the museum. But what's really special about this exhibition is our community have handpicked all the items which will be brought up. And for the first time last year, and we'll continue it this year, we had some of the labels written in both English and Solomon Islands Pidgin. So that was a really proud moment for our community to see our language up in the museum.
And with the work that you do, what do you hope to achieve?
Yeah, I'd hope to achieve many things. But if I could narrow it down to one sort of purpose and real drive in my career, it would be to train and build capacity for more Solomon Island archaeologists and anthropologists and historians, museologists, so those working in museum spaces. Our cultural resources, our peoples, you know, are the greatest assets we have, whether it be in Solomon Islands or across the Pacific, but especially Indigenous communities. Our identity are tied to that heritage, the oral historical knowledge, the traditional ecological knowledge. So I find there's a whole lot of wisdom that's already exists and in place with a lot of the Indigenous knowledge systems. And these, some of these professions, especially archaeology, can really contribute to enhancing a lot of that existing knowledge. And thinking about, you know, co-developing solutions, whether it be to battle the threats to languages, whether it be to mitigate impacts of climate change, or whether it be to develop our, you know, economies, our fragile Pacific Island economies more sustainably. And I think archaeology and sort of cultural and arts professions can contribute really significantly towards addressing some of these, you know, sort of national and global issues that we're facing in the region.
Thank you, Tomas, for joining us on this podcast today, Dr. Charles Radcliffe. My final question really is for, you know, those for other Pacific people considering work or study in this same area of yours in archaeology, do you have any advice or words of encouragement?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a basic words of advice would be for those who might have an interest in archaeology or anthropology in some of these spaces is to find your support network, find your role models or sources of inspiration. Quite often some barriers that our students, our Pacific students will face is firstly, they don't know what archaeology is. They don't know what purpose it can serve in society. But once you do have that understanding and you have an interest, really ignite that spark by reading and really reaching out to others in the space. So my journey was only really possible and came to fruition through the support of my former supervisors, as well as peers and others, you know, older postgrad students, more senior postgrad students. So really try to build that network and reach out to others. And from there, then you should be able to get the support needed to ideally build a profession, build a career, and really meaningfully contribute to the preservation of your languages for your home country, preservation of the cultural histories, and then to really build our solidarity through better understanding how we are connected. We are so deeply connected throughout the Pacific.
Thank you, Tomas Aguirre, Dr. Radcliffe, for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you, Tomas.
As Solomon Islands Pidgin Language Week comes to a close, may we continue to share our stories, sing our songs, and speak our words with confidence. Let us pass on our heritage to the next generation, not as something to be remembered, but as something to be lived every day. Thank you, Tomas. Thank you, and may God bless the Solomon Islands and all our Pacific communities in Otipoti, Dunedin, Aotearoa, and beyond. On behalf of the Solomon Islands Dunedin community, we wish you all a happy Solomon Islands Pidgin Language Week.
Aswa Diana, hello kita. Nemblomi? Hem Irene Karongo Handubi. I am Irene Karongo Handove. So, what does Solomon Islands Language Week mean to me? It means a chance for us to be visible in the community, a chance for us to connect to one another and to celebrate the beautiful diversity of our community, the 90 languages and cultures of Solomon Islands, or more, depending on who you talk to, and the wonderful vibrancy that all of those languages and cultures bring to us as Solomon Islanders. The theme, Protecte Mlangui San Kosha Blongyumi, I have devoted my life to this. So I am a researcher doing research around our culture, our people, and our arts. So for me, this is a very special theme that gives us, again, more visibility, but celebrates who we are, celebrates every aspect of who we are, whether we are from urban centres or from regional areas, our tribal connections, our whakapapa, our family connections. It's just wonderful to be here together celebrating Solomon Islands and all that we are. How am I celebrating Solomon Islands Pidgin Language Week? Well, we have a number of different things going on. We've got some celebrations at the museum starting at the beginning of the week on Sunday, November 24th. End of the week, we're finishing with a community picnic. So we will be connecting together as a community as much as we can through that week to celebrate. We will be connecting nationally. So there's ways that we will be listening, following social media, seeing what all the other regions are doing as well, and reflecting on that and all of our celebrations too. At such a time, I expect that we will also connect to our family back in Solomon Islands too. If you want to find out more about our events for Solomon Islands Language Week, you can follow our Facebook page and also our podcast on ORFM. Enjoy.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.